They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few Mocha Moms. We visit with members of this mother support group each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. This week, we want to talk about how families can go green, what with juice boxes and disposable diapers and shuttling to soccer practice. How can families start reducing their carbon footprint? Joining us to talk about this, Mocha Moms Jolene Ivy and Asra Nomani. And I'm pleased to welcome to the panel Beth Murray. She's the founder of a group called Family Footprint, which she's going to tell us about. Thanks for coming, all of you.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Thank you.
Beth, what made you start thinking about this? I just want to say for myself that I was shocked when we had kids about how much more trash we generated, you know, how much more resources I found myself using, even though, you know, I breastfed, I, you know, cook my own food, didn't use a lot of convenience foods and so forth. I was just shocked by how much more trash we were generating. So what made you start thinking about this?
Well, I think it probably started my sister. I have one sibling. She lived in Europe for 10 years, and I have four kids. She has four kids. I'd go to visit her, and she'd have one small little refrigerator. Under her counter in the kitchen was one small little washing machine, no dryer. They didn't use a car. They walked everywhere. And their quality of life was fantastic, at least as good as mine. And then I'd come back home thinking, how can I use less? And I'd have all these great ideas, but it usually didn't go very far.
Jolene, what about you? Do you think about this? And I want to ask you both as a mom and as a legislator, because you're also a state legislator in your other life when you're not being the mom of five.
Well, I tell you, Michelle, when our first child was born, I really felt committed to the need to use cloth diapers. And I really am happy that I did it. I did it for 3.5 kids, because when I had the fourth one, you know, he's the half. While I was pregnant with the fifth one, I ended up going on bed rest, and I realized that nobody else in the whole world was going to change number four's diaper for me and, you know, deal with the extra work that is involved with cloth diapers. And so I gave it up at that point and put him in disposable diapers. And then when the fifth one was born, it is really... it's very seductive once you get into using disposable diapers. It's hard to go back. But I did go back to cloth for a little while, but I finally threw in the towel and said, look, Jolene, give yourself a break with the disposables.
So, but was that because you were concerned about the environmental impact?
It was two things. It was the environment was a big, big part of it. And also, there just seemed something wrong about putting chemicals against the baby's skin.
Asra, what about you?
Well, I'm green in my heart. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out when I get that Thomas the Train little package and it's got the little plastic on the front so you can see the train and then it's got the cardboard, what box is it supposed to go in? And do you recycle it together? Does it go separate? And all those little wires that are there on the back of the packaging, like what do I do with it? I mean, is that metal? Is it plastic? And I can't figure it out.
Well, I think that's probably where a lot of us are. So Beth, why don't you start us off? And first of all, tell us about Family Footprint and help us, you know, start thinking about this. Help.
Well, so I would come back from visiting my sister with these great ideas and nothing would happen. And finally, this past summer, I came back and I decided if I was really going to do something, I needed to have some peer pressure. So I talked to four of my friends that I thought might be interested in changing their family's footprint. And we started this group. We get together once a week and we compare notes. And we started by doing kind of an inventory. We looked at our utility bills. We looked at our water bills. We tracked for a year what we were using in all these different areas. And then started teasing out what were the biggest impacts that we could make to change our lives in practical, kind of easy ways that would make the biggest difference. And we've been doing that now for 7 months.
That makes sense. Well, can you give us some things that you guys have implemented that perhaps we could adopt? Now, the first thing you've already told us, which I found interesting, is just keep track. Notice how much and document your energy bills. And I bet you in these perilous times, I think that's an idea that a lot of people would co-sign with. So what are some of the other things that you all have done to reduce your carbon footprint as a group?
The biggest impact that we can all make is simple behavior change. For example, during the winter time, we decided to see how low we could set our thermostats, because for every 10 degrees, you can set back your thermostat for an 8-hour period. That's 10% savings off your energy bill. So it was pretty easy at night, you know, between, say, 11 and 7 in the morning to turn down the temperature 10 degrees. In my case, I went to 58. And you know what? Nobody even noticed. I have four kids. No one even noticed that it was 10 degrees colder. So that was easy. And I think next year, next winter, our energy bills are going to be even higher. So it's even more of a payback.
I think we're working on getting on the same page on this question, because one thing that, Beth, you're saying you're getting good cooperation in your household on this, but let me just say, without telling too much business, that is not the case for all of us. Mm-hmm. And some people, we're just not always on the same page about this. I think some people see having the heat up as high as they want it as being what they've deserved and earned.
Right. Right. So to me, that's
It is. But for some people who feel like, you know what, I grew up cold and I'm not going to be cold again. And do you know what I mean? I think that that's true for a lot of people, for a lot of Americans, particularly from different backgrounds, who said, you know what, I grew up cold. I don't want to be cold. You know, I grew up cold in the winter and hot in the summer. And by gum, I've worked hard so that I can be comfortable. Or, you know, by gum, I've worked hard so that my kids can have as many Thomas the Tank Engines as I can provide them. You know, I don't know, Beth, I don't know if this has come up with any of the folks that are a part of your group, but how do you handle that?
Well, the problem is it's just not sustainable. The world cannot consume at the rate that Americans consume. And I think kids, you know, they get the fairness issue.
Beth, we weren't talking about kids, but that's
I got what you were saying, Michelle. And what I feel that way sometimes myself. And as I listen to Beth, I hear an adult voice, right? Like somebody who's thought it through that we can't do this to the world. And to me, like, that's our child speaking. You know, when I want to get Shibley all those toys that I didn't get, that's the child in me. That's not being an adult. And that's where I feel like issues like you want to be warm because you were cold as a kid, that's what's playing out. And once, I mean, it's bigger than just what we're talking about, but when you actually can figure out, okay, the adult in me says that this world needs some compromise on our consumerism, then we're not acting just out our child.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with Jolene Ivey, Asra Nomani, and Beth Murray about reducing our family's carbon footprint. Beth, have you got any advice for Asra? Because one of the things that she was saying, and I must tell you that this kind of confuses me too, is that there are things that are big in kid world. You know, we can do without, you know, Barbies and stuff like that. So, you know, that's not a big thing for us. A lot of the things that adults want to buy don't have to be heavily packaged. But a lot of things that are big in kid world are. Do you have any thoughts about that? How we can be more mindful?
Without sounding like I'm a radical here or going overboard, I think it doesn't take that much time to rip the plastic, the part of it that makes it possible for you to see the toy, rip that off, and then break down the cardboard and recycle all the cardboard. And the wires you're talking about, I think those are fantastic little wires that I reuse in the summertime, like tying up roses on my trellis and things like that.
Lovely.
I mean, there are definitely things that you have to, there are definitely things
while
that you have to throw out.
No, that makes sense.
It totally
does.
You're saying
that maybe the thought is, how can you utilize it in your own sphere?
Well, you know, sometimes I have this fantasy of going back to West Virginia and getting a farmhouse and, you know, going to the extreme on this because of all this consumerism that I think ends up bringing junk into our lives and into our world. But I just moved into a new home. And one of the things that I've decided that we're going to do is not have that television set that is part of the cycle, to me, of junk in our lives, because you get the commercials, you get the packaging, you get the garbage. Because, you know, there's this concept that they say that it's easy to be a monk in a cave, right? But can you practice what you preach out there in the world? And so that's what I know as a family, that's what I'm trying to do now, is start all over again with that kind of vision of simplifying.
Do you talk to Shibley, your son, about these issues? What do you say?
I do. I literally talk to him about the footprint. I mean, I say to him, I use that image with Shibley and say, whether we leave a restaurant or whether we're in our room, you want to leave that place as if you weren't there.
Jolene, maybe you could give us a final thought, because you're, as a legislator and also as a mom of five, you're kind of in the compromise business. So
yeah.
Can you give us a thought about how you can get started?
I guess the thing is to find the areas to kind of mitigate the problems that you do have. If you have a tendency to maybe keep the AC up too high, find other ways that you can cut back. I've been carrying cloth bags to the grocery store so I can have fewer of those plastic bags. And legislatively, that's something that some parts of the country are trying to do, is get rid of those plastic bags. They are the worst. I hate them. But they're very convenient. And So since I'm not using so many plastic bags, and since I'm using those funny looking light bulbs, and since I'm doing other things and I use cloth diapers all those years, maybe I'm not going to feel as guilty about running the heat in the winter at 72. But, you know, I don't know if these things balance out, but I think you have to find balance in your life and find what you're really going to do and not just what's the ideal thing to do.
Beth, final thought from you. Get us started. If you want to start something today to reduce your carbon footprint, what would you do?
Right. Well, I think, you know, you mentioned lighting and those funny looking light bulbs. They are expensive, but, you know, over time they more than pay from their self, especially going into the summer, because the incandescent bulbs, which are the old-fashioned ones, 90% of the energy is given off as heat. Only 10% goes into producing light. So I'd say look around your house. Which lights are the ones that are on the most often? Trade those out for the compact fluorescent, the twirly ones. The ones you don't turn on that often, you know, go ahead and leave the old light bulbs in. But that's an easy change to make. And the second thing I'd say is really look at your air conditioning. A lot of times it's the humidity that makes us feel hot, not the temperature, yet we set it at 70 because we want to feel comfortable. Well, you might be able to set it at 80, and you feel really comfortable because the air conditioner is taking the humidity out of the air, but it doesn't have to run so long, use so much energy to get it down to that 70-degree mark.
All right, Beth, you know what? Maybe you'll check back with us in a couple months and tell us what else the members of Family Footprint have come up with.
Sure, that? I'd be happy to.
Okay, Beth Murray is founder of Family Footprint Group. It's a group of families that have gotten together to try to figure out how they can reduce their carbon footprint. She joined us from Philadelphia. Mocha Mom Jolene Ivy joined us from our New York bureau, and Asra Nomani joined me in our Washington studio. Thank you so much, ladies, moms, for joining
us. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.